It's time to start promoting a cause. Andrea Speranza is a firefighter who would really love to see more women in first response careers, so she created the First Responder Society and Camp Courage, a great opportunity for young women ages 15 to 19 to gain hands-on experience as a paramedic, police officer, and firefighter. Your next opportunity to be part of a Camp Courage experience is this summer, July 7th to 14th, and because of the enormous cost behind it, it only happens every second year because Andrea and her team raise all the funds themselves to make this a free experience for 24 young women. So if you want to get in on this, the time is fast approaching to get your application in. The deadline is March 31st. It was a great conversation to have, particularly so close to International Women's Day, and I'm glad I could bring it to you now on Promoting a Cause. Thank you very much for joining me on Promoting a Cause, Andrea, and why don't we get started with Camp Courage? Where did it come from, and why is it important specifically to you?
Well, the name Camp Courage, consulted with all my important people, and we came up with the name Camp Courage because everybody needs everyday courage, and that is the courage to believe in yourself, the courage to stand up for yourself, the courage to challenge yourself, the courage to choose the hard right over the easy wrong, the courage to persevere even through the worst adversity, but most of all, the courage to dream the biggest, most fantastic dreams, because if they believe it, they'll achieve it. And this is really what the camp values are all about.
It's rooted in first responder numbers and wanting to increase those numbers in those professions. Can people who don't see themselves going down the first responder path still be a part of Camp Courage?
There is no requirement that you have to become a police officer, firefighter, or paramedic, or emergency responder of any sort. In order to be accepted to the camp, they have to write an essay on how to improve someone else's life that's less fortunate, or how to improve their community. And instead of paying tuition, they actually do what they say in their essay. And then, of course, they need a couple letters of recommendation and just fill out some paperwork. But the essays in the past have revolved around helping the old, the young, the physically challenged, the homeless, the environment. The young ladies have organized blood drives, tree planting, beach cleanups. They coach sports. They volunteer at homes for the elderly, hospitals, animal shelters. So whatever they feel is important to them and dear to them, so that's how they pick out their idea. I don't believe that anyone should be selected to go to the camp based on their financial circumstances. So that's why I think it's so important for it to be free. Financial circumstances shouldn't determine where you go in life. So it has to be free.
Young women, 15 to 19 is your age range. Why is that particularly important?
The age 15 to 19 is critical in a youth's life because that is when they make their decisions that will set them up for the rest of their life. They're making very big life decisions at age 15, so they need to be surrounded by role models and mentors and outstanding people so that they can help them, guide them towards success, towards achieving more than they thought they could achieve. And that is what our mentors do. Our mentors are fabulous. We have over 100 volunteers that are amazing, and we survey the campers every 2 days at the camp and at the end and ask them how we can make the program better. And some of the things they say about the camper or about the instructors are they're amazing people, funny, nice, very kind, positive, approachable, friendly, encouraging, happy to answer questions, interactive, patient, took extra care, helpful, fun, cheerful, supportive, reliable, attentive, happy, safe, warm, awesome, knowledgeable, calm, sweet, energetic, fantastic, outgoing, very smart, strict, intelligent, insightful, great, enthusiastic, easy to talk to, engaging, informative, welcome, interesting, empowering, inspirational, and they all cheered us on. So that was just from the last camp. What I compiled all the 24 applicants, or 24 graduates' comments, and that speaks volumes. And the instructors love to come out and help and inspire these young ladies, and they're awesome people as well.
And not even one negative review about how hard you made them work?
You know what? We asked those youth, what didn't you like? And the majority of them say that the camp ended. But it's funny that you say that, because I was just working on some camp stuff, and I read another quote, which is kind of appropriate for this. She said, I could say I disliked the push-ups, but they made me stronger. I could say I didn't like waking up early, because they have to get up early. And then she said, but it was always worth it. So, you know, at the camp, these girls are challenged every single day, multiple times, things they never thought their parents would even dream of doing. Climb a 100-foot ladder, you know, cut the roof off a car, learn self-defense, deliver a mechanical baby. These are all very challenging things. And, you know, at the camp, they're not allowed to say the word, I can't. They can't say that phrase. If they do, they get push-ups. So the idea is to retrain their brain to think that they can do everything. It's just a matter of time, effort, and asking for help and trying to maneuver around the objective or the obstacle.
It sounds like, anyway, a certain baseline of physical intensity and perhaps physical fitness necessary to succeed here. Can you describe what you need to have in that area coming in?
We've never had anyone not complete the program, so we modify, you know, some people come in and they have maybe hurt their wrist or something. We modify the program to ensure everyone has success. You know what? I think it's more about attitude than physical. If you think you can, you will. If you think you can't, you won't. Ultimately, you live up to your own expectations. So it's not a matter of that we need an elite athlete. But in these careers, you do need to be fit. Now, we do the Firefighters Combat Challenge for part of the firefighting option, or part of the firefighting program, and they have to, as a team, climb 5 stories with a 50-pound hose pack with gear on, and they have to pull up a 50-pound hose roll, and they have to drag a 185-pound dummy. Now, granted, we don't expect them to be adults and very strong, so we provide, you know, tarps and handles so that, you know, 10 people can carry the mannequin or something. So we work around everybody's capabilities.
You mentioned having a lot of volunteers and guest speakers and things like that. What areas do they come in with? The first responder experience would seem obvious, but are there others as well?
Certainly. So we have, the camp is a holistic program. The primary program administrators are police officers, firefighters, and paramedics from all the different organizations. But every day we try to teach them about life skills, so fitness, nutrition, health, mental wellness. We have awesome stories of women role models that are pilots, that are doctors, that are surgeons, that have been to Afghanistan. And
why is it such a great passion for you? Where did that come from?
Well, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a firefighter, and I lived across the street from a fire station, and they were really nice to me, and kind of made me like their little junior firefighter and that. And then I went through school, and all my teachers and family members guided me towards more traditional female careers. You know, maybe you don't want to be a firefighter. You want to take, you know, business or, you know, administration or something like that. And not one person said, yeah, go ahead. You can do it. You can be a firefighter. Not one person, even though I said that's what I want to be. So I followed what everybody, you know, my mentors said I could do. So I did what they said I could do. And then I was living in a community in Lakeside, and they needed a first aid I've always believed in giving back to the community, no matter any time in my life. So I had been a volunteer first aid and CPR instructor for St. John's Ambulance. And they had called me up one day and said their instructor for the Lakeside Fire Department was called in sick, and they knew I lived down not too far from there and wondered if I could fill in. So I said, sure, and I filled in. And the firefighters there said, oh, you know, we really liked you as an instructor. Why don't you keep coming back as an instructor? And so I did. And then they said, well, you know what? We really like you. Why don't you join us? And you can go to the medical calls and help us with the medical stuff. And I said, just medical calls. I don't do anything halfway. I do everything 100% full. And then I was the first female firefighter there. and then as soon as they hired again for the city, I applied and I got hired for the city. Also, when I was young, I couldn't decide whether I wanted to be a police officer, firefighter, or paramedic, too. So they were all very attractive. So this is they're all service-orientated professions, and they're all awesome. So I thought that if I could show young ladies, let them experience the physical demands placed on these jobs and show them the most awesome things about them, that they would love it just as much as I would love it, and they would join it and be firefighters, police officers, and paramedics. And you know what? I was right. There is a 35% success rate of graduates going on into these careers, so I'm very happy about that.
That's a tremendous success story for the program. What area of first response in particular has seen the greatest impact?
Well, you know, that's actually a relative question, because women, when I started the program, we only had 3% women in my fire department. And there's obviously more paramedics and more police officers that are females. I think it's a little more easier sell to get more people in those jobs. But I think they... there's so many that were interested in firefighting, which was such a far reach, that I think that's the greatest success for me personally. But we have probably the most numbers going into the medical field.
Is the testing for a female applicant the same as a male applicant?
Identical. There's one test for aptitude, one test for physical, one test for one interview. And it's all the same for everyone. And we wouldn't want it any other way.
This year's camp is happening in July, but the deadline is March 31st.
That's correct.
So if someone was planning to get ready and wanted to apply, what should they start doing today to be ready?
So they should first of all go to our website, www.campcourage.ca, and review everything on the website. It has our mission statement, our goals, our values. Frequently asked questions actually has the selection process marking scheme, as well as a bunch of and some suggestions on how to come up with an idea for your essay. The applications online, you need to apply online. You need to get a few letters of recommendation.
Has it changed over the years?
Well, we actually tweak the program every single year because we want to make it the best of the best, and we ask graduates how to make it better, and then the graduates come back and help make it better. You know, one of my graduates now has 10 years on as a paramedic. I couldn't believe it. I seen her at a call, which is one of my most happy things, is to see one of my graduates as a police officer or a firefighter or a paramedic on a call. But, yes, so... it's a continually evolving program because people change, times change, and we need to grow the program. Also, this year we added a bursary program. That's exciting. We're actually offering 3 bursaries, one for each of the professions, a police officer, firefighter, and paramedic, for their education towards that, as well as we added a 3-tier post-mentorship program. And that consists of job shadowing or some kind of post-camp work with an emergency service entity, as well as in the second phase is the continued education portion of it, where we're going to offer workshops and education on leadership and skills like that, and first aid qualifications, as well as networking opportunities. And the third phase is preparation for their interviews, aptitude tests, and physical fitness. And also, as an added benefit, when you graduate from this camp, you can get high school credit. It's a part of a co-op program because it's like 100 hours of great stuff to do. It's all jam-packed information. And if you apply to your school and I fill out all the paperwork, I think we've had about half a dozen schools that have accepted the program as a co-op credit. So it has to be implemented. It can't be asked for after you graduate. So
obviously, medical disclosure would be, I think, paramount to safety and that sort of thing, making sure that if someone, for example, had epilepsy or something like that, you are aware of it. Mm-hmm. But there's also a sense of fear, I think, when you get involved in first response careers. And some parents might feel like, I love the work that you do and I don't want to discourage my child, but I don't really feel excited about them running headfirst into a fire for their career either. How do you overcome parental fear in that way?
Part of this program is educating the youth and their family about the various aspects of these jobs. How, you know, many of the graduates come back and they say, oh, I never realized firefighters do much more than firefighting. I never thought about it. They do medical calls, they do car accidents, high angle rescue, confined space rescue, trench, ice rescue, water rescue. There's so much. I never realized how technical it was. And then they come and they talk about the police officers. Well, I never realized how many different areas you can specialize in. You can be with the emergency response team. You can be with the bomb squad. You can be with a regular police officer. You could be a detective. There's so many options that they were unaware of. You know, it's not everybody doing dangerous things. And then they're educated about how the safety practices we have in place in order to do our jobs safely. And it's just very, it's funny how so many people have misconceptions about these professions. And it really opens their eyes. And, you know, people, they might come in and want to be a firefighter and maybe not like the police so much, because sometimes police get the bad rap because they have to enforce laws and ruin some people's fun, I guess, if they're thinking it's fun. And but they come out and they say, geez, the police are so nice. They do so many community things. I never realized that.
How different are the challenges to get people involved now as, say, compared to 10 years ago? And what I'm thinking about, rightly or wrongly, is getting people away from electronics and putting their phone down to experience.
That's not a challenge at all. Our program's so packed with hands-on things and fun that there's no issue whatsoever with technology, with campers on phones and stuff like that. We set the rules down on the very first day. They sign a contract. It's witnessed. We review it. We have rules in place. You know, and it's never been an issue. And I'll tell you, that's the way we should be guiding our kids. You know, you have to give them something better.
You've mentioned that people return to give back to your program. Is there a particular success story for you that really stands out?
I can't isolate one person. There are so many awesome young ladies in all the professions, police, fire, and paramedicine, that have come back multiple times, that have spread the word in their community, done presentations, done events. You know, when you come to this camp, you have a new family, and it's for life.
The mentorship program and the bursaries, how do people apply?
So any graduate is eligible for any of these opportunities, and there is an application process that they can fill out to. It is not online right now, but it will be online shortly.
And you've said you've never had someone not graduate your program.
That's correct. And I have to tell you, some people have extreme fears of height and confined space, and they do it. So, you know, we start small. You know, if they're afraid of confined space, we let them walk through it first with no gear on, and then with coveralls on, and then with their pack on, and then eventually they do it blacked out with a blackout mask. And let me tell you, it is one of the most empowering things a person can do, is to go past a fear or go past an obstacle that they thought they could never overcome. And then they, once they get to the other side, it is the most powerful experience.
Just take me through a typical day and its structure to give people a sense of what they can expect.
They come on the first day, and it's just more of a welcome atmosphere. We go over rules, regulations, safety talks, and then there's a goal-setting session and the purpose of the camp. And then they try on their gear, and we do sponsor pictures. And every day at lunch, we have a guest speaker while they eat. A successful female role model, and then we do, on the first day, often we do Myers-Briggs personality profiling, so these young ladies know where their strengths lie. And then at the very last hour of every day is fitness. The second and third day are paramedic days, and they get to have their, you know, their fitness and their guest speaker, but they have skill stations, so everything is hands-on. There's skill stations. They do vital signs, and they get an ambulance tour, they get a dispatch tour, they do CPR, they do all sorts of first aid things. They have the mannequins that can speak to you and give you signs and symptoms, and you have to guess what the problem is. They have a birthing mannequin. They get to deliver a mechanical baby. They get to give IVs and needles, and they get to intubate. Not on each other. It's like fake arms and stuff like that. It's all very safety orientated. So my favorite part about the paramedic days is the obstacle course at the end, where they have to maneuver. They have to backboard a patient and put an IV in them, and they have to maneuver that patient around an obstacle course. And on the obstacle course, there's pylons and little balls on top of the pylons, and you get penalized if you knock a ball off or a pole off. You have to go over and under and around things and up. And then the next 2 days are police days. But on the police days, they get the police dogs come in and the police horses and the drug investigation team, the explosive disposal unit comes in, the tactical troop comes in, the bike patrol, the emergency response team comes in, the bomb squad comes in. They get to learn self-defense and handcuffing and baton work, and there's a shooting simulation thing, and they get to shoot some guns, and they do forensic identification like footprint lifting and fingerprint lifting, and so it's jam-packed with activities. And then the next 2 days are fire days, so they get to do the confined space trailer, do firefighting, they learn how to tie knots, they get to climb a 100-foot ladder, they put the big hazmat suits on and build a Lego thing, they get to cut the roofs off cars, make them into convertibles, and they do the Firefighters Combat Challenge. And then on the very last day, which is the eighth day when they're very tired, in the morning they present their goal boards and they practice this grand finale scenario that we put together. And then after lunch they do their graduation demonstration to their family, their friends, and the media. And then we have our graduation ceremony. So it's a lot of work. We have fundraising sometimes before and after the camp, and they're exhausted, but they're challenged, and, you know, their eyes are open to the many opportunities available to them. They all say, wow, I just didn't realize there were so many opportunities. And, you know, we open their minds to the fact that the only limits they have are the ones they put on themselves.
If anyone wants to help, they don't have to have previously been involved in the camp to do that. So how could somebody provide assistance?
So there's all sorts of assistance that is required for the camp. So we have videos, we have all sorts of photographers that we could always use more of. We have all sorts of administrative work. So there is a lot of behind-the-scenes work that is required. We need a chef. We just lost our chef. She got posted, and she was awesome. But we want healthy food, and we want to provide the best experience. And so there is a crazy amount of work done behind the scenes in order to provide this program and the success of this program. And we have an application process and a staff manual and a process that the person would have to go through. But everything is on our website, www.campcourage.ca.
Well, you should be very proud about the work that you're doing and the impact that you're having, and I really do appreciate that you spent some time here with me on promoting a cause.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Andrea Speranza for taking the time to be part of Promoting a Cause and letting us all know about Camp Courage, a great opportunity for young women ages 15 to 19 to gain hands-on experience in a first responder field, either as a paramedic, police officer, or firefighter. I think this is a fantastic opportunity for a lot of young women, especially because those who are successful in applying will get to do it at no cost to them. It all happens July 7th to the 14th, and you can find out more about Camp Courage at campcourage.ca. My name's Daryl Osborne. Thanks for being part of Promoting a Cause.